Any questions from anyone?
I do have a question.
Yeah. The difference between what? I'm saying, whenever you use the word.
Difference between like the inhabitants of the spiritual world, the personality.
And.
Everybody has some differences. Like,
oh, you mean.
Have different characters.
Oh. All right, I'll try to answer something. And it has to do with the nature of Krishna conception. So, Srimad Bhagavatam is the book of Krishna, so much so that Prabhupada called the 10th canto the Krishna book. And anyone who has the good fortune to come in connection with that book will forever be changed and happy. And sometimes Prabhupada would say in a very simple way, and say, when people see, there was a picture, there was an artist, a lady, elderly lady when I joined, her name was Devahuti. And she painted this famous picture of Radha and Krishna. It was on the volume one of the Krishna book. And Prabhupada said once, sometimes when people see a book like Krishna, they will say, who is Krishna? Who is the girl with Krishna? Just that, very simple. Who is Krishna? Who is the girl with Krishna? If we can answer that question, that's everything. Everything will come out of that question. Who is Krishna and who is the girl with Krishna? Already it surpassed the partial conception of divinity in the other traditions, religious traditions, other systems. Who is Krishna and who is the girl with Krishna? So, in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, the first sloka is this magnificent Pratama sloka, upon which it's the introduction, the overview, foundation. Janmadyasya yatonvayad itaratas cha arteshu abhigyasvarat tene brahma hridayam adikave muhyanti yatsuraya tejo bari madam yata vinamayo yatra trishargom risha damna svena sada nirastakuakam satyam param dimahi. Here, everything has been condensed. This, we're told, is the Sambandhagyan sloka. The Dharmak Prochita Koita Botra, Paramo Nirmat Saranam Satam Sloka, the second one being the Avideya Sloka, and Nigama Kapaturor Galitam Palam Shukamukaram Rita Davashamitam, that being the Prayojan Tattva. This is revealed by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Bhagavat Arka Marichi Mala, which he says was inspired directly by an appearance of Sarup Damodar, whose other self is Lalita Sakhi. So, and the very first statement, Janmadyasya Yataha, echoed from echoing what was in the Vedanta, but now being fully, about to be fully expressed in the pages of the Bhagavatam. Srila Guru Maharaj has told us that as a, sometimes Vedas are compared to a tree. So if the Vedas are the tree, then we're told Vedanta is the flower. Like here, isn't it true, some of the mango trees, they're flowering, or what stage are they? Anyway, let's say they're flowering. So the tree, for so long it looks a particular way, then at a particular stage, the flower comes out. And you know, if you take a flower from a tree, they have this very sweet essence. It's amazing, the flower of many different trees. You take the, and fruit trees particularly I'm speaking of. And I say, oh, I didn't know that the such and such tree, fruit tree, had such a sweet smelling flower. That flower is like the essence of what is about to be manifest in the form of the fruit. Right? Some mystical way, it's the essence, the what is essential. Right? They talk about essential oils, essence. Right. So this tree of the Veda produces the flower of Vedanta, but we're told as the flower falls away, then the fruit appears. Nigama kalpataror galitam palam shuka mukad amrita dravashamyutam. This is what is being relished and tasted by Sukadeva Goswami. Right. Muhuraho rasika bhuvi bhavukaha. And the real rasiks and bhavuks, they will relish this substance repeatedly. How? In Gita, Krishna is telling you, machchita madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam kata, katayas chamam nitma katayas cha, what is it? Tushanti cha, ramanti cha. How the devotees, they're feasting, speaking about Krishna. As we told that sloka from Jayate, Bishvesha manuranjanena janayam anandam indivara, shreni shamala kamalaya upang anangotsavam mahotsavam. Krishna's divine form is a festival. Every aspect of Krishna consciousness is a festival. For the eyes, the ears, tasting, smelling, total, full, sensual engagement. Right? So the devotees, they're relishing the speaking about Krishna is not an academic exercise. They're, as much as someone feels joy and satiation, nourishment, strength, from eating, that comparison is being given. And elsewhere, bhakti parishano bhavo viraktir anyatra cha tushti pushti kshudit payopeksha. In the Bhagavatam also, it's compared, this type of thing. And not only that, tushanti cha, ramanti cha. The erotic principle in unalloyed devotion as given by Professor Sanyal under the guidance of Saraswati Thakur. So full sensual engagement. Sukadeva Goswami says, Parinishti topi nayargunye uttama shloka lilaya grihita cheta raja se akyanam yaraditavan. By way of introduction, when he appears on the scene, where Parikshit Maharaj is asking from all those different sages their unanimous verdict and what they advised for him, how to spend his remaining days in substantial spiritual culture. Because everyone was recommending something on the basis of what helped them overcome negativity or the mundane. So because they were suffering or contaminated in different ways, one person recommending this, someone recommending another thing. So Pariksit Maharaj said, I have 7 days in hand. I need you to, your consensus, your unanimous verdict, how I should proceed. Right? Then Sukadeva Goswami appeared on the scene. Right? And how? In what form? We're told 16-year-old boy, but totally naked and totally beautiful, looking, having similar features to Krishna. And it's what is described there, the beauty of his neck, his the different parts of his body. And everyone was astonished to see him. And they thought, here's that legendary Sukadev, the legend we have heard about, liberated in the womb of his mother. All of these things are significant. They're not just interesting stories or interesting details. They're critical parts of establishing Krishna conception. Right? It's thematic, it's cohesive, it's all unified. Right? Everything's connected, so there's a reason. So all the representatives of all the different schools of thought have met. Right? Because of hearing that Pariksit Maharaj will lead the world. That means every school of every type of philosophical and religious thought, their leaders are there. And they're all giving different advice, as they do. Right? And he's saying, no, make a consensus. You all, you're all the leaders, then you meet together and give me your unanimous verdict. That's when Sukadev enters. And looking at him and knowing it's the legendary Sukadev, and we're told they're expert in the art of physiognomy, they elevate the naked 16-year-old boy to the presidential seat in the assembly. Also, although some of them may be hundreds of years old, thousands of years old, from different planets, they recognize, here's the qualified person to speak. Why? Liberated in the womb of his mother, before he entered the world, right? Before he came out, he's already liberated. So Sukadev is not going to give advice on the basis of what was helpful to him in overcoming mundane attraction. But rather, as he says by way of introduction, Parinishthitopi Nirgunye, you all know I was situated in Nirguna plane. What does that mean? This world, Saguna plane, ignorance, passion, goodness, the mundane world, the objective world, right? The world of misconception, the world of exploitation. For him, no misconception, no exploiting tendencies. Right? He says, so I'm situated nirgun, not nothing, not nirguna. People say, oh, it says no, without qualities. So then their first thing, oh, they think, then that must mean neutral, nothing, blank. But that's not what he's saying. He's saying with nirgun means not with mundane qualities, but on the outskirts of the qualified world, the super qualified world, the adhoksaja realm. I said, situated in that position. So we can take it, in one sense, almost like neutral, without any mundane, but on the outskirts of the spiritual domain. He's saying, then, uttama shloka lilaya grihita cheta rajarse. I heard Krishna conception. Through my ear, Krishna conception entered my heart. Pravishta karna rundrena swanam bhavam saroruham. Dunoti shamalam Krishna shalayasya yata sharat. Gurmur said, this world of experience, he said, when he's telling about his boyhood experiences, very different than most. So he'll remember the time he saw the universal form or had some particular realization. So he's saying this, one day it occurred to him that the whole world was like a... that consciousness and mind, he said, was like a giant vat of milk, and the objective world was like a thin layer of cream floating on top of it. I remember this day. when that occurred to him in a very deep, realized way. The whole world is like a giant vat of milk, the objective world, conscious world, and the objective world is like a thin layer of cream floating on top of that. So the objective, as you know, floating on top of consciousness, the whole objective world, that's what it's doing. It's floating on consciousness. So that's Sukadev saying, but hearing about Krishna, my consciousness was captured and I was carried away to another world that I didn't know existed previously. Now, and what's part of his story? We hear in the Bhagavatam that when he left Vedavyasa's ashram, his father, he went by a tank, a pond, where so-called Dibya devis were bathing, right? Naked girls were bathing. But seeing him, they didn't bother to cover themselves out of shyness. But when Vyas went running after him, we're told there, it's a very moving section where he says, "Oh, my son!" And we're told, it says, only the trees echoed in response. Say, "Oh, my son! Oh, my son! My son!" Only the trees are responding. And when he goes by the ladies, they're all covering themselves. And he's saying, "When my son, he's 16, fully developed, no, you're not covering yourselves or showing any signs, but now, why?" And they said, "Well, we can see in him, there's not even a trace amount of exploiting tendency in his gaze." They're telling this to Veda Vyas. That Veda Vyas of Mahabharata, who's Veda Vyas, Krishna Dvaipayana Veda Vyas, saying that boy, not even a trace amount of exploiting tendency in his gaze. And we can think, oh, that's an interesting story. Or interesting anecdote, sidebar, footnote. It's critical because what it's telling us, that Sukadev, who has not even a trace amount, remote interest in the male-female relationship, when he hears about the pastimes of Radha and Krishna and the Braja Gopis, loving intimate pastimes, he's captured heart and soul by that. So it's telling us indirectly, they're not mundane. These are not the pastimes between men and women of this world as we conceive them. Vaikunthiya prithivyari sakala chinmoy. Everything in the spiritual world is comprised of consciousness. And not only consciousness in the generic sense, but consciousness enriched, endowed with dedicating tendency. The strata of the spiritual world is based upon degrees of dedication, just as the strata of the material world is based upon degrees of exploitation, from gross to subtle. There, the strata, Vaikuntha, the southern hemisphere of the spiritual world, the Adhoksaja realm, goes from Vaikuntha, Ayodhya, Dwaraka, Mathura, Vrindavan, Govardhan, Radha Kunda, going more fine, more subtle, and more enriched with dedicating, self-giving tendency. So once thinking about these things, I said to Guru Maharaj, just said, oh, so then there would be difference between being a blade of grass in Vaikuntha and a blade of grass in Vrindavan. And Guru Maharaj said, of course. I thought I was like having a big realization. He went, of course. Because I thought, we'll say they're both Shantarasa, just as an example. But what's the difference between the blade of grass and the one Goloka Vrindavan, as Srila Gurudev says, he said, everything in Goloka is permeated by Parakiya Bhav. Some people misunderstood this. No, Parakiya Bhav, that paramore, that's just the gopis and, Radharani, Brajagopis and Krishna. But Guru Maharaj is saying, no, Yashoda, when people say, you know, Krishna is the son of Vasudeva and Devaki. He's not really your son. What? That's Parakya. She's the sense that he's not hers. He belongs to someone else. That's her version of Parakya. When the cowherd boys are told, they say amongst themselves, some people say, Gopal is not one of us. What? No, that he's some like demigod, or some people say he's even God himself. No, Gopal? Yes, Gopal, our Gopal. They're telling these things. It makes them bring him nearer and dearer to themselves, that sense that he's not theirs. No, that's our Gopal, our friend Gopal. The cows, everything. So everything there is permeated by this mood in one form of another. Janmadyasya yataha. Vishwanath, if we say in a general sense, oh, the absolute truth is that from which everything is emanated. Or the Upanishad, yato va imani bhutani jayante, from which everything has come, by which it's maintained, and into which it will enter ultimately. But Chakrabarti Thakur, ever the parser and extractor, the rasika ranjan, delighting, he is saying, janma dyasya, here, adi, usually means janma, adi means birth, etc. He's saying, no, here, adi, we take to mean adi rasa, the original rasa. And the original rasa is madhura rasa. All other rasas are satellites. All other rasas are clients. Madhura rasa is the original. And of Madhura rasa, which is the superior, Parakya. So we can understand that is the original. And everything is coming from there. Everything's coming from that position. Right? Janmadyasya yataha. That Adi rasa, Mukya rasa, Madhura rasa. So when Mahaprabhu asked Raghupati Upadhyay, tell me, what's the best thing you've realized and understood, and with all your knowledge of the scriptures, this, that, and the other thing? He said, well, Shrutim apare, Shmitim itare, Bharatamanye, Bhavabhita, Ahang nandam iham vande yashalande param brahma. Saying there's the Shrutis, the Vedas, what we can hear from there. They're indicating some direction, go in this way. Shrinvantu vishay amritasya putra. Wake up, you nectar children, and understand your identity does not lie in the world of mortality, but in the immortal world. They're telling us to go in their direction. The Smriti, the Puranas, Mahabharata, Gita, they've come to rescue us from this fearful, worrisome, anxiety-filled situation we've created by turning our backs, turning away from Krishna, saying, and they all give some advice in different ways, just like those sages who are acquainted with all these different things advising Parikshit Maharaj. He said, but what I want to know, yashalinde, ahang ihan nandam bande. He said, I prefer to worship Nanda Maharaj. That's one fell swoop counts. Everything counts. I worship Nanda Maharaj, yashalinde param, because he has that param brahma who's described in the Shrutis, the Smriti Purana, etc., crawling in his courtyard as a baby. What did he do? That I'm interested in. And Mahaprabhu liked this very much. Raghupati Upadhyay is just going immediately to this position. In one sloka, summarize everything and say, what did Nanda Maharaj do that Krishna's crawling in his courtyard? That I want to know. What does that mean? Raga bhakti. Love and affection. Not karma, not gyan, not yoga, not meditation. What did he do that God's crawling in his courtyard? Like when Devashish Prabhu said he was at some like flea market in London or something, and there were some devotee kids there, and some Christians came up and said, like, you've got to, you know, find God and go to the house of God or find the Lord, this, you know, invite the Lord. And he said, because this Grihastha couple had some deities in their house, and the child answered that man by saying, if you want to see God, you come over to our house. The guy's like, what? He said, he's in our house. So that's what he's saying. He's in the house of Nanda Maharaj, crawling. What did he do to get that position? Right? The infinite coming under the control of the finite. The infinite crawling in the courtyard of the finite. Right? And it's Sukadev. He asked a similar question to Parikshit Maharaj, where he said, after hearing about Nanda and Yashoda, they say, Nanda kim akarod brahman sreya eva mahodayam. Again, praising Nanda Maharaj. Right? But here, takes a step further and he said, Yashoda va mahabhaga is even more fortunate. Papo yasya stanam hari. Krishna sitting on her lap, sucking her breast. What is this? What kind of approach is this? Right? Then Mahaprabhu was saying, very good. Anything more you can say? Right. So he says, kam pratikata itam ise. Go pratitam ayatu. Go patitanaya kunje gopi viduti vitam brahma. The sloka of Gurudev he quoted at the opening of the ISKCON Chandradoya Mandir in Mayapur, where he's saying, who can I tell? You're asking, is there anything more to say? There's more to say, but who could I tell? Is there anyone qualified to hear this? And if they were, would they believe me if I told them? And what is that? That who will believe that Supreme Brahma, crawling in the courtyard of Nanda Maharaj, who's sought after by the yogis, the karmis, the gyanis, everyone, that he's hunting the gopi girls in the kunja of Vrindavan. Is there anyone I can tell this and anyone who will believe that? And Guru Maharaj said, he wrote an article in the Harmonist, one of the Gaudiya Math publications, was appreciated by many, where he said, he revealed that the inverse of this, or how we say inference, or there's imply, infer, is that he's saying, but now that you have come, everyone will hear it and everyone will believe it. Somehow, by your divine grace and mercy, it'll be given to everyone. Right? Namo Mahavananaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gora Tushaya Namaha. Mahaprabhu extending qualification. He makes Sarvabhauma qualified. He qualifies others. When he goes to the Jarikanda, they're going to Vrindavan, he and his servant, Krishna Das. And they're in the jungle collecting the shak for his favorite, that spinach. But they come to one place where there's a sleeping tiger on the footpath. Like we see at the night safari here, those tigers. That one, when I opened my umbrella, he got like very angry, took it as an aggressive gesture. So there's some sleeping tiger. And the servitor's like, he's thinking which way to go, how to avoid. And Mahaprabhu goes up to the tiger and slams his, wake up! Chant Hare Krishna! and he's like, oh no, slapping tiger. And the tiger gets up and starts, Hare Krishna, starts chanting and dancing. Because it penetrated his ignorance. That body, that Rajagun body and the tamagun element, all of that together, that tiger body. Mahaprabhu's Krishna vibrant is so fine that it penetrated all the layers covering that soul, entered his soul, liberated him, and he began to dance, but expressing his ecstatic dance through the body of a tiger. Then Mahaprabhu goes to where the elephants are bathing with the she elephants. You can be crushed easily. Then splashes water on the elephants and tells them, you know, Hare Krishna, chant Hare Krishna. The elephants start dancing and screaming and pounding the ground, taking Krishna Nam in ecstasy. It's penetrating the layers because his vibration is so fine. So he's qualifying everyone. Yata yata gaura padara vinde vinde ta bhaktim krita punya rasi tata tatot sarpati hridya kasmat radha padam boja sudam burasi. Prabodhananda saying, therefore, as Nityananda Prabhu advised, worship the lotus feet of Gauranga. Those who are sumedasa of refined theistic intellect, sukritivan, they'll get it, they'll understand. Give everything to the lotus feet of Guru and Gauranga, then automatically, subconsciously, deep within the core of the heart, the Radha Rasa Shudhanidhi begins to flow and they awaken in the soil of Vrindavan. And in that plane, what do we hear Uddhava say? Asamaho chararenu jushama hangshang Vrindavane kimapi guma latosadinam. He's saying, after he witnessed Radharani and Brajagopis prem, their love for Krishna, their ecstatic nature and self-giving, and it surpassed everything he'd ever conceived. Sanatana Goswami says in his Brihad Bhagavatam Tika, at one point Narada forgot that he was even a devotee. Right? Like if you have, you're a musician, then they bring in like the master musician and they play and they sing like, I can't touch my instrument again. Did I ever play? This is so superior. So he mentions momentarily Uddhava forgot that he was ever any kind of a devotee. He was that overwhelmed by the devotion shown by Radharani and her girlfriends who own and control Krishna. They have the copyright, the patent, he's registered. They alone can extend him. Right. So he is praying, what? To become a creeper, a blade of grass there, Brahma tadburi bhagyam, eva janma kimapyatavyam, yad gokulepi katamangri brijobhishekam. To get some of the dust from the lotus feet of the Brijbasis, or in Uddhava's case, of the Radharani and Brajagopis. But Raghunath Das Goswami says in his prayers, factoring this in, Gurumar says, then he says, yat kinchit triguma kikata goshte samastamitat sarvananda maya mukunda doitam lilanukulam puram. Even the insects in the spiritual world, they're lilanukul, mukunda, they're dear to Krishna, mukunda doita, they're enhancing the pastimes. They have a part to play. Right? So when you're talking about individual nature and form, we're generally told there are no yogis in Vrindavan. But great meditators, great those who have this dhyan ability to meditate to the extreme, they're in Vrindavan, but not as yogis. How? As birds, bees. That because Guru Maharaj has put it this way, because we think, well, like, insects and like, is that desirable? He's saying, why, when Uddhava says, I want to be born as a blade of grass or something, is that, does that mean their position is nothing? He said, just like in a play, you play different parts. He said, if a man in a play plays a dead man, does that mean he's dead? No, he's fully alive, but he might play a dead man very well, right? Or a villain, or the child comes home from the school play and the parents say, in the chant, oh, I'm in the play. And they go, oh, what are you playing? Go, I'm a flower. You're a flower? Yes. And they have a little flower. Their head is in the center and little petals coming out and a little like flower outfit. And they're happily playing a flower in a play. If you can understand that, then you can understand the flowers in Vrindavan are people. They're very exalted people. They can talk. They can preach. They can talk about Krishna. They can become ecstatic. They can dance. They can move. They can do everything. So we're told in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the leader of the bumblebees, big, you know, bumblebees, not like thin ones, but like chubby bumblebees, like roly-poly bumblebees. They know how to dance. When you see that type of dance, they're dancing ecstatically. I told the king of the bumblebees, he starts madly dancing and singing Krishna Katha. Then Krishna, Balaram, everyone's like just watching this dance and they're appreciating it like anything. So what is the position of those there? Muktirhit vanyata swarupam swaropena vibhastiti. Coming liberated from misconception, the body being the biological expression of the soul's delusion. Swaropena vibhastiti. They achieve the swarup that's based upon their dedicating tendency. Everyone and everything there is exalted. And guru, Guru Maharaj told it, it's the world of gurus. The soil is guru. Those who traverse the soil are guru. So then Guru Maharaj posed the question, if that is the guru world, everyone there is venerable, worshipable guru, how can you walk there? How can you take one step into the guru world? Where the soil is of superior stuff to your own self. Said, like the pujari has to put the crown on Krishna, it's an offense to touch the altar with your foot. Right? But if you have to put the crown on the deity and step on the altar to do that, that's in seva. When Govinda and the Gangbir to massage Mahaprabhu, he stepped over him to do this massage. But once he was done, he wouldn't step over the Mahaprabhu to leave the room. So hours, when Mahaprabhu awake, he said, what are you doing? He said, I couldn't leave the room. Why? Because I would have to step over your divine form. But then how did you get there? Well, then I was massaging you. So when he was massaging, he stepped over the divine form of Mahaprabhu. Because that's not for him. But for his own, he wouldn't do that. So we have to understand these spiritual principles that are operating there. Shuk and Shari, the two parrots that land on Mahaprabhu's fingers when he's in Vrindavan, and the male parrot glorifying Krishna, the female parrot glorifying Radharani. And how? In perfect Sanskrit. These parrots are composing perfect Sanskrit verses that are astonishing all the devotees and bringing joy to their hearts. So we have to reconceive if we're going to understand that world and the unique position of everyone there. But for general reference, Rupa Goswami has given some analysis and system that Madhura Rasa is like this, Sakya Rasa like that. These are the principal devotees. These are their qualities and characteristics. Those who are in their group have similar qualities and characteristics, but are unique. Guru Maharaj reminds us that, like when we hear, we sing Radha Krishna Nitya Lila Kori Lo Prakash. We sing this every day. These pastimes are circular, nitya. They're continuing. When from Sanatana Goswami, we understand Nanda and Yasoda are thinking, you know, we have no child. For so long, we have no child. They're praying. Krishna appears as their son. They have their pastimes. Then Krishna has the pastime with the cowherd boys. Little older, pastimes with the cowherd girls. Then Akrura comes and takes him from Vrindavan to Mathura. Yashoda is senseless and crying herself blind. Nanda, like a stone. The Brajagopis trying to stop the chariot, throwing themselves in front of the wheel, holding the horses, trying to keep Krishna. He goes to Mathura, and Nanda and Yashoda are plunged into an ocean of separation, thinking, we can't live in separation from our son. It goes, the circle is continuing, it becomes more extreme, and they think, he's been gone so long. Was he really here? Did we really have a son? And it goes deeper and deeper, and then they think, we have no son. And for so long, we've had no son. And then Krishna appears as their son, and the circle's completed, and it continues, this pastime. Right. So then someone will say, does it happen the exact same way every time? Guru says, no. Sanatana Goswami tells that when Kaliya, after being punished by Krishna, the dancing of the lotus feet of Krishna on the heads of Kaliya, pounding the rubies into, you know, rose-colored powder. It's, you know, making the Jamuna look even more beautiful, and he's doing all the different, it's the source of all the different dances, Bharatanatyam, this dance, that dance. Right? When Kaliya is praying for some mercy, he says, in the future, if you need a ride, I'm available. I know Garuda, normally you ride on Garuda and you're Vishnu and Dwarka pastime. And Baladev, whose expansion Ananta, saying, who likes to be throne, seat, thread, cloth, also super conscious, right? The ropes of the Jagannath chariot are worshipped every year. They have names, personalities. We have to really reconceive. But so Sanatana Goswami says, so sometimes when Akrura comes to take Krishna from Vrindavan to Mathura, that instead of the chariot, Kaliya shows up, and they all climb on Kaliya, and Kaliya, they ride Kaliya to Mathura. That's another pastime. And then another pastime. And incidentally, Baladev will say, why are you fighting with this ordinary snake? If you really want something, I, at my experience, Shesh, then we can play. But so, this ordinary snake, playing with him? So gradation is everywhere and in everything. So just to conclude, so Mahaprabhu then told Raghupati Upadhyay, then what do you think is the best form of Krishna, supreme form of Krishna, supreme age of Krishna, supreme abode of Krishna, supreme, what's the best of everything? He says, Shama eva param rupam puri maru puri vara kaisaram Deyam, Adyo Rasa, Raso Para. Shama Sundar is the supreme, Param Rupam, the supreme form of Krishna. Mathura, by extension, Vrindavan, Govardhan, Radhakunda, supreme abode. And Kishore, supreme age. So it means like that teenage, always on the verge of becoming. That's how he described it. Sometimes he said, Krishna is evergreen. Yeah, I thought Krishna was blue. That's not the meaning of evergreen. It means always just fresh. And the becoming of fresh youthfulness, beauty. So Kishore, and that's when he has his pastimes with Brajagopis. And Adyo Rasa, so Para, Adi Rasa, Madhura Rasa, the supreme. But still, everything is necessary. when Hanuman, as Murari Gupta, was pressed by Mahaprabhu to fully embrace Krishna conception. And he thought, but Ramachandra is established on the throne of my heart. He's my Ishtadevata. How can I appreciate Krishna, but Ramachandra is my Lord. We're told that night, he thought next morning he has to answer to Mahaprabhu. He thought, the only way out of this situation is if I die. If I die tonight, then I don't have to make this choice or reveal that I can't. But then he shows up and tells, he goes, I'm sorry, but I can't remove the lotus feet of Ramachandra from my heart. I understand what you're saying about Krishna, but I can't, he is enthroned in my heart. And Mahaprabhu laughs, and we're told he writes on his forehead, Ramdas. We're told he is the Ashraya Vigraha of Dasya Rasa. So he's worshipped by all the devotees. The Madhura Rasa servitor is worshipping Hanuman for this type of loyalty and fidelity to his master. Shiva praising Prahlad, Prahlad praising the Pandavas praising the Yadavas praising Uddhava, Uddhava praising Srimati Radharani and Braja Gopis. And what are they saying? They're praising the flute. Now it's gone full circle. The trees, the flute. How? Look at the flute. Such a wonderful position. Rupa Goswami's slok about Chandravali expressing her envy. Vishalach Chidra Jalena Purna. I forget the rest. Murali. Anyway, she's saying the flute. Appears to be criticism, fault-finding, but it's very sweet. She's saying, flute, bamboo, dry piece of wood, full of holes. The word is simultaneously hole and fault. So she's saying, full of faults, full of holes. Dry means nirasha, no rasa. So why Krishna always kissing this flute? Really, the nectar of Krishna's lips meant for Braja Gopis. But this flute is stealing everything. So they're praising this flute. They're in the high, they're the Braja flute we take to be in a Shantarasa lower position. They're praising the position of the flute. So it's a Krishna consciousness, the mutual admiration club. Always the devotees appreciating the good qualities of other devotees, whatever their positions are. Right? Guru Maharaj does not like to hear that in the comparative analysis of these things, where it's very easy to commit some offense, that someone will think, oh, if they're not in Madhura Rasa, that's some lower position. Once he said, my heart is mortified to hear this. He said, when Radharani and Braja Gopis awake in the morning, their first business is to go to the doorstep, the threshold of the house of Nanda and Yashoda, and bow down and thank the Lord for her. Without her, there's no Krishna in this world. So Rupa Goswami and the Goswami, they can engage in this type of analysis to understand the nuance and the unique position of different devotees, and they do in a very delightful, respectful, non-offensive sort of comparative analysis. But I'd like to finish with this, that Srila Saraswati Thakur, we're told when he would be given a plate of prasadam and many different preparations, and the devotees would ask eagerly, oh, Prabhupada, which do you like the best? He said, each one tastes better than the other one. Right? Each one tastes better than the other one. And so that's Ramananda Sambhad, where Ramananda says, Jarje Rasehoi Se Sarvotam. Whatever you're tasting at the time, you're thinking, could there be anything better than this? Do we think Yashoda doesn't know what we know? Does she think there's something better than her loving relationship with Krishna? Impossible. But Rupa Goswami is saying, but on a comparative analysis, this one is called Madhura Rasa. It's the sweetest. And it contains all the elements of Shanta, Dasya, Sakya, Vatsalya. Everything is contained within there. That's why it is the original. They all spring out from there. But everything is necessary. Akila Rasamrita Murti Krishna, reciprocating with everyone. So, Hare Krishna. But what, all right, yes? Simple question or like our class question? Tell me the question.
Okay, this question from Jaswari Didi. Dandabad, in the beginning of the class, Goswami Maharaj spoke that we can be very blessed and get in touch with the Srimad Bhagavatam. What he can say about we read this book by ourselves, is it okay?
Yes, okay, I can answer this question briefly. But I do want to say, friends, and I do mean friends, our Facebook friends. friend, Sakya Rasa is good on Facebook, is best on there. Liking. So we like you too. But this is good, and there's a simple answer, fortunately. Srila Guru Maharaj, well, first of all, we'll say, Srup Damodar is a famous saying where he says, Bhagavata Parodiya, Bhagavata Stane. You need to learn Bhagavatam. You have to hear book Bhagavatam from the person Bhagavatam. Right. So Guru Maharaj mentions, Professor Sanyal told that if I go to read the Bhagavatam on my own, it may be karma, it may be vikarma. He said, but if I go to read the Bhagavatam under the order of the Vaishnava, Guru and Vaishnava, then it may be devotion. So what is all important to us is the order of Guru, the sanction of the Vaishnava. Otherwise, anything we do on our own, what's the word? Initiative, then it doesn't necessarily have the divine will of Krishna backing. Krishna decides to reveal himself. It says, Nayamatma pravachaneno labhyo namedaya na bahuna srutena. Tame vaisha vrinute tena labhya tashaisha atma vivrinute tanum swam. You won't get this by reading. Speaking, love you, namedaya, being very intelligent, intellectual, bahuna srutena, hearing so much, can also be paraphrased or parsed, reading. Said, he reveals himself to whom he chooses, through whom he chooses. So what's all important is the sanction of Guru and Vaishnav. Just on this point, to conclude with this, when I was Guru Maharaj, having conversations with Guru Maharaj, like we mentioned earlier, getting certain impressions, sometimes saying something correct and maybe pushing it a little further, other times saying something incorrect. When Guru Maharaj detected a lack of discrimination or ability to weigh and assess and measure and understand strata and gradation, he said to me, haven't you gone through the Brihad Bhagavatamritam? And I said, no. And then he explained it in summary, and then he sanctioned that I would read that. Then I could read that in a meaningful, substantial way, and by his grace, extract something from there. So the sanction, I mean, here, sometimes Srila Gurudev, he would quote a sloka that maybe I tried to learn before but could not for some reason, it would just not come. But once he would discuss it and like throw it to as the throwing potency, just like Guru Maharaj, then you can get it. So it has to be, you know, sanction, Guru and Vaishnav. Then it may be devotion. And we're interested in devotion, not knowledge, not data. It's not a data transfer. Tene Brahma Hrida is not information data transfer, right? But it's heart-to-heart transaction. That's what it has to be. So we, the what to speak of, the that's in the Bhagavatam. The very book is saying that it has to be a heart-to-heart transaction. From whom? The heart of the Vaishnava. Hare Krishna.